You see, it takes more than belief. It takes more than faith to really please God. He says it takes faith that results in loving others. Religion without love doesn't matter. It's not enough to say, I believe. What matters is how I love God and how I love other people. That's the great commandment.
It's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church in Southern California, author of The Purpose-Driven Life. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. He says it takes more than faith to really please God. It takes faith that results in love for others and obedience to the great commandment. Faith plus love? Faith plus our obedience? Is that what I'm hearing from one of the brightest lights in Protestantism? One of the brightest lights in evangelicalism? Faith alone. I can understand arguments from the Roman Catholic quarter on the issue of faith alone, salvation by grace through faith alone, but arguments from Protestants and evangelicals? How can this be? We're going to talk about faith alone tonight on Issues Etc. Now, unlike most of what you hear at night, on the weekends, Issues Etc. is a live call-in show. Our call-in number, live this Sunday night, March the 2nd, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're giving away a devotional book by Martin Luther titled Through Faith Alone tonight to our callers and our emailers, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest tonight. He's pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver and author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Why Sola Fide is the Chief Article. Steve, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's always great to be with you.
This issue of faith alone was obviously the big deal during the 16th century Reformation. Is this still a matter of debate among the heirs of the Reformation?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is. You see it playing out in modern-day Protestantism, and I use that term kind of loosely. But what you see going on, essentially, is people who are heirs of the Reformation, and that is, they belong to denominations such as Lutheranism or those who are heirs of the Calvinistic Reformation, and they actually are denying things like justification by faith alone. We see that in certain quarters of the new perspective on Paul. We see that amongst some evangelicals and many, many other places, unfortunately.
You say that it's the central doctrine, that if there's a doctrine among all the doctrines of Scripture that stands above and beyond all others and is central, it is this justification by grace through faith alone. Why is it central, and what does it mean that it is central?
Well, to say that it's central is also to say that it is the chief article of the Christian faith, and what we mean by that, essentially, is that the doctrine of justification is sort of the beating heart of Christianity. Everything flows out from this center. Everything affects that center. So if you're wrong in one area, chances are it's going to touch upon justification in some way. But really what we're saying when we say that justification is the central article of the Christian faith is we're saying the most important thing about Christianity is, in fact, Jesus. Jesus' life, our Lord's death, and his glorious resurrection are the things in which a Christian lives and moves and has his or her being. And so to say that that justification is the central article is to say that Christ and all of his saving benefits is the chief or the central article of the Christian religion.
So if you say it's chief and central, if someone gets this one wrong, if they think that it is faith plus something, works, obedience, my decision, whatever it may be, are they going to rightly understand everything else that Scripture teaches?
No. In fact, I would submit that the exact opposite is in fact true. Because this is the chief and the central article of the Christian religion, if you're off on this particular article, then it's going to pop up time and time again, regardless of what you're talking about, whether you're talking about sanctification, whether you're talking about reasons for serving your neighbor, whether you're talking about even the most apparently minute thing. It's going to come up time and time again because, again, this is the article from which all other articles flow. And as a result, if you're off here, you're going to be off many, if not most or all, other places.
Let's do a bit of definition, if we could. The two words, faith alone, beginning with faith. What is faith according to Scripture?
According to Scripture, faith is essentially trust. It's we sometimes use the word belief, but even that can really be misunderstood in our day and age. The way that Scripture uses the term faith is a living trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing what He says and believing that what He has done in His life, in His sacrifice on the cross, and in His victorious resurrection is enough to save even me, the chief of sinners, as the Apostle Paul puts it.
When we say it is enough, or that a faith alone saves, if it's often said, well, God requires no works or obedience from us to earn our salvation. The only thing He requires from us is an act of belief. Is that the way Scripture talks about it?
That's not the way that Scripture talks about it, but I certainly have a heart for people who believe that, in the sense that I myself, as you know, Todd, was once an evangelical, and I considered myself to be a great champion of the biblical doctrine of justification by faith alone, but I misunderstood it. I thought that faith alone taught that, that for example, in the Old Covenant or in the Old Testament, God required all sorts of works from people, sacrifices and sin offerings and what have you, but in the New Testament, the only thing that He required was faith. And this is the light yoke that Jesus spoke of, I thought. But really, that's not justification through faith, that's justification on account of your faith. And really what that amounts to is boasting in yourself. If you're not talking about Jesus and His works and His merits, His shed blood for the forgiveness of sins, His resurrection for your justification, then really what you end up doing is boasting in yourself. Rather, the way that Scripture presents faith as is something that that receives. It is, as has been said, the empty hand which receives the gifts of our King and our Lord and King Jesus Christ.
Let's respond, if we could, to some of the arguments, old and new, against faith alone. The first one's coming from, as I said, the Roman Catholic quarter. These are very old arguments, but let's begin with the first one, and that is, well, the Bible simply teaches that works follow faith, therefore it is faith plus works that saves a man. How do you respond?
Well, I'd say that the Bible certainly teaches that works follow faith, and that there is a sort of cause and effect there. Somebody who does have a true and living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will, in fact, produce good works. But it is the faith that produces the good works. There's a difference between what receives salvation or what receives the forgiveness of sin. It's faith, and faith alone, which receives forgiveness. The result of the forgiveness of sins that were given freely on account of Jesus is the good works that we have in our lives to bring glory to God and to serve our neighbor who is, in fact, in need. So Scripture does teach that good works are important, but it teaches that they're important in order to bring glory to God because He has commanded them and in order to serve our neighbor who is in need of those good works. But it teaches in no uncertain terms in places like Romans 3 and many other places that we therefore maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So for the Apostle Paul, for example, there are two categories of things that are being discussed. There is faith and there is works. The Apostle Paul says that faith saves and works do not. And this essentially is why we insist upon the formula faith alone, because the alone there excludes any works of merit on our part.
All right, now you've raised the other argument. This one is also very old, and we'll get to it on the other side of this break. The other argument is, look, fine and good, whatever you want to say about faith alone, but do it based upon the Bible, because nowhere does the Bible explicitly teach faith alone. It might say that faith is a means by which we are saved, but it doesn't use that word alone. That argument was pulled out against Luther when he translated the Scriptures into his German vernacular, and he translated a certain passage with the words faith alone. We'll hear why, and if it was justified, no pun intended, on the other side of this break. What about you? Do you believe in faith alone? Our email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, March the 2nd. Listeners with the best questions or comments will receive the book, Through Faith Alone, by Martin Luther. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We get that email right here in the studio, or give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, we'll get Pastor Park's response to the argument that the words faith alone never appear together in the Bible. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. He's pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver and author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Why Sola Fide is the Chief Article. Then we'll respond to some kind of evangelical arguments that are made, oddly enough, against the teaching of faith alone. They say it's faith plus my decision, faith plus my commitment, faith plus my experience, faith plus something. We'll be right back.
Have you ever given some thought to the vocation of either pastor or deaconess? Well, Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne invite you to an on-campus visit this spring. These events allow you to visit with seminary faculty, staff, and students and obtain answers to your questions. Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne is hosting a Spring Invitational Campus Visit, March 26th through the 29th. And Concordia Seminary St. Louis invites you to attend an event titled Contemplate, March the 13th through the 15th. For more information on a visit this spring to Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, visit the What's New section of our website at issuesetc.org. Learn more about pastoral and deaconess formation by attending Contemplate, March 13th through the 15th at Concordia Seminary St. Louis, at a Spring Invitational Campus Visit March 26th through the 29th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the role of women in the church. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief will be our guest. Does God's Word allow women to become pastors? Many churches do, but does Scripture permit it? Did women deacons have governing authority in the early church? And what is the biblical role of women in the church? We'll talk about it next week with Pastor Matt Harrison. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, just visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's a children's book called That's My Cult. It's an illustrated Easter book aimed at kids about 5 through 9. You can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about That's My Cult by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, That's My Cult. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. We're talking about faith alone. You responded to one argument before the break. Here's another one. Luther translates the famous Romans passage, man is justified by grace through faith alone, I think is the general gist of the passage. And his opponents on the Roman Catholic side immediately responded, saying, you're wrong, the word alone isn't in there. Does it belong in the translation? Is it there, Pastor Parks?
Well, if you're asking the question, is it there in the original Greek, then the answer would be no. However, as you well know, Luther wasn't trying to put the scriptures into Greek. He was trying to take the Greek and put it into a German in which the common person could understand it. And Luther explains in his work on translation why he did that. He essentially says that in German, adding the exclusive particle is necessary because that's how they kind of speak in everyday speech. And so they would say things like, I have only eaten and not drunk, or they would say, I only have bread but not wine, and so on. So he basically argues that that's why he included that exclusive article alone. What we have essentially here, as I mentioned, is there's two things under discussion when we talk about the famous debates between Luther and his Roman Catholic opponents. The question was, is faith the thing that receives the forgiveness of sins, or is it faith plus works? And Holy Scripture teaches us in no uncertain terms that we're saved apart from works. There's the famous passage in Ephesians chapter 2, "Therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast." No man can boast. And we see those what works are excluded from the article of justification all over in Scripture. There's the passage from Romans 3, to which Luther added the exclusive particle, which I quoted before the break. And that is, "Therefore we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." So we see that we're not saved by works in Ephesians 2. We're not saved by works of the law in Romans 3. And for those who want to maintain that works of the law don't include general works of righteousness, Paul is careful also to exclude those from the article of justification. He says in Titus chapter 3 that he saved us not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So all works are excluded from the picture of justification, and that specific formula that we use, salvation or justification by faith alone, is only intended to communicate that truth, that it's faith and not works which receives forgiveness.
Okay, then respond to this, because this is an argument made more recently by many of our Protestant brethren, and it's very common, especially here in Western Christianity. It is faith, fine and good, plus my decision, my commitment, my obedience. There are a lot of things that fit after that plus, but they sound to me an awful lot like rehashing in different forms the old argument of the Roman Church against Luther and faith alone.
Well, you're absolutely right. It is simply just a rehashing of that. What the Roman Catholic Church argued, as we have been discussing a bit, is that it's not faith, but it's faith formed by love. And the specific Latin that they use was fide formata caritatis, faith formed by love. And, of course, that in and of itself is a biblical expression. It's the meaning that they pour into it that's problematic. And we see essentially that people in our day and age, those who claim to be heirs of the Reformation, those who would lay claim to the term Protestant, who are making essentially the same types of arguments. But the bottom line is this. This is the way I explain it to my parishioners and those who ask. The Reformation was not a debate over the necessity of faith, over the necessity of Christ, over the necessity of grace or Scripture or any of the other things that they argued about. It was a debate over the sufficiency of those things. Is Christ enough? Is faith enough? Is God's grace enough? Are the Scriptures enough? And if you answer yes to those questions, then you are on a more of a Reformation track. If you answer no, then you're simply standing in the corner of Rome and those who opposed Luther. So regardless of the way in which it's packaged today, to say that faith is not enough, that something must be added to faith, whether it's your decision, whether it's a certain kind of love or certain kind of good works, you are simply undoing all of the advances that were made in seeking to understand Scripture and the Reformation itself.
Is when you hear someone like Rick Warren, like we did at the outset of our conversation, say it takes more than faith to really please God, it takes faith that results in love, what are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing, to an extent, just a rehash of exactly what I just mentioned, which is this fides formata caritatis, faith formed by love. This is the thing that truly pleases God. And as a result, it's the thing that results in fellowship with God. This is exactly what the Roman Catholic Church was arguing in the 16th century and continues to argue today. Now, I know that when most folks look at the outward trappings of evangelicalism, you know, they see a winsome guy up there in a suit and tie, or in some cases a Hawaiian, you know, hibiscus-laden shirt, and he's up there and just kind of shooting the breeze with them, talking to him about having a personal relationship with Jesus, and it seems the farthest thing in the world away from the Roman Catholic Church, with the priests, with their vestments and so on, and all of the formality of the liturgy. But you find more and more often that when you compare the substance of what's being said in evangelicalism with the substance of what is said in the Roman Catholic Church, you find very, very little difference. In fact, the similarities, I think, are extremely striking.
Finally, before we go to this break, the great solas of the Reformation, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, the two that seem to always stand together, stand or fall together, of course all of them do, but especially faith alone and Christ alone. What's the relationship between these two solas of the Reformation? 1 minute.
Sure. Well, essentially, faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed, and Jesus is the sole object of saving faith, his person and his work for the forgiveness of all of our sins and for the redemption of fallen sinners. And so that's the reason why those two always stand in direct relationship to one another. Faith doesn't look to itself. It doesn't have any object, any true object, except for the saving work of Jesus Christ.
We're talking about faith alone. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest tonight. Speaking of faith, the next Issues Etc. journal contains an article titled, Can You Make a Decision for Christ? And I'd like to send it to you. It's this very next issue of the journal, free. Just call 1-800-737-0172 during this break. Ask to receive the Issues Etc. journal, free, 1-800-737-0172. You can also read an article that I've written titled, Sheep Don't Keep Track, Stop Measuring Your Moral Progress, in the next Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy of the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. When we come back, we're going to go to the phones and see what our listeners have to say about faith alone. Stephen Parks is our guest, pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver, author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Why Sola Fide is the Chief Article. Well, we've learned that it's certainly warranted in Scripture. Theologically, it stands as the linchpin of true Christian theology. You get faith alone wrong, and you'll get a lot of things in Scripture wrong. And sola fide, faith alone, is directly connected to the other great sola of the Reformation, Christ alone. That if you get faith alone wrong or misdirect that faith, then Christ alone suffers damage. You can see how it really is the center of gravity in the Christian faith, that all things orbit around it. So how is it that so many people consider this kind of the entry-level teaching, and once you get past that, you go on to talk all about works and what you do? We'll be right back. Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the Scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, Scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the Internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, host of Issues Etc. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budget. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, just look for the LCMS logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Folks, later this month, Concordia Seminary and Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne are both going to be hosting on-campus invitational visits. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, find out about these two events under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. We're talking about faith alone. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Bill listening in Springfield, Missouri on KSCV. Hi, Bill. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to see if I can mend some bridges here between the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, I guess. When I became a Catholic back in 1970, and ever since then, I've always heard, and I've always, all the teachings that I've had, is that there's only one way into heaven, and that's by your faith. And the thing about the works is that they've always taught us that, you know, to demonstrate your faith, is to demonstrate it by your works. So I think we're all on the same page with that, with in regards to that. So if we can kind of mend a bridge here, I mean, it'll help out a lot, I think.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. Let's see what Pastor Parks has to say. First of all, is that your reading of the official teachings of the Catholic Church to this day, Pastor Parks?
Well, absolutely not. I'm certainly glad to hear that that's Bill's personal profession of faith, and I'm glad to hear that there are those within the Roman Catholic Church who uphold that teaching. Nevertheless, on an official level, the Roman Catholic Church has, in fact, condemned that teaching. At the Council of Trent, which was convened in the 16th century, for example, they said if anyone says that that faith alone is sufficient for salvation, let him be anathema. In other words, excommunicated, and even to a degree it could be understood as damned by God. And so this was one of the reasons that Luther was excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church. And they have continued to maintain this position all the way up until the current day. So again, I'm really glad to hear that Bill believes in justification by faith alone, that faith is the only thing that receives the forgiveness of sins, and that works demonstrate that we have a living faith, but that don't contribute to our salvation. But that is, in fact, the Lutheran position and not that of the Roman Catholic Church.
What kind of questions should Bill perhaps ask his priest to be able to sort out whether or not he's hearing what it is the church is still officially teaching, as opposed to what the priest might be saying?
Well, I would invite Bill to take a look at the Roman Catholic, the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, and I mean their idea of salvation is spelled out there in unmistakable terms. You can look at places as recent as Vatican II, as well, for example, they have certain decrees on justification and how works play a part not only in redeeming yourself but also in redeeming your neighbor as you suffer for them on their behalf and so on. Especially, I'd take invite him to take a look at the divine constitution on indulgences, which you have in Vatican II. We sometimes think of indulgences as something that was done in the past and that caused the Reformation, but is kind of over with. But the Roman Catholic Church still actually gives indulgences for certain things, and Vatican II speaks about that at length. So I just invite them to check out those documents as well.
Evelyn is in New York. She's listening to us on Bot Radio Network on Sky Angel. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. I've been a Christian for 41 years, an evangelical Christian, and I never felt that I had anything to do with it. I never tried to glorify my own. I mean, the Lord caused me to make the decision that I made. It was Him and Him alone that did it. It wasn't me. So, but I guess what I'm also asking you is, what does James mean when he says faith without works is dead?
It's a good question, Evelyn. Thank you very much. Pastor Parks.
Well, there's a couple of things. I think Evelyn makes the excellent point that faith is itself a gift of God. In the earlier part of the broadcast, we quoted from Ephesians chapter 2, which says, "It's therefore by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." When the Apostle Paul there uses the word "this," he is referring not only to the grace of God, but also to the faith that we have been given. So the faith by which we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is itself a gift of God. Conversion is His work from beginning to end, which is why the Apostle Paul could say things like in Romans 9 where he says, "So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy." So it doesn't depend on our own will or our own running or our own strivings or works, but rather on God who shows mercy. So she's right on there. A lot of people, though, have difficulty with what James says in James chapter 2. What you have essentially with James is he is describing a living versus a dead faith, it has often been said. The way that Lutherans historically have looked at it is two ways. You can talk about justification before God, in other words, how a sinner receives the forgiveness of sins, and as we've discussed, that of course is through faith alone, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood, His merits, and His righteousness. But there's another court of justification, and that's the court of justification before other men. And that's why James says things like, "Therefore we see," and there he uses the Greek word blepo, which means to see with your eyes, that a man is justified also by his works. So what James is talking about isn't how we receive the forgiveness of sins, but rather how we know that somebody is a true believer. We can't know, we can't look into somebody's heart and see whether or not they have a true living faith in Christ. But what we can do is we can look at their actions. And by their actions, by the confession of faith that they make, we can on that basis realize that they are in fact true Christians.
Bob is listening in Lincoln, Nebraska, on KLCV. Hi, Bob, and thank you for waiting.
I was wanting to know how does a person know if they have a true faith or a living faith as opposed to a dead faith? I mean, how much of it does it have to be living by works?
All right, Bob, that's an excellent question. Since we're on the subject of living versus dead faith, Pastor Parks.
Well, there's an important thing to realize here, and that's what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. Our faith, of course, is placed not in ourselves. It's not placed in our own faith, nor is it placed in our own work. Faith looks to one place and one place alone, and that's to Jesus. To His blood and His righteousness, His merits and His gifts, which He delivers to us through His word and through His sacraments. And so a Christian ought not necessarily to be completely preoccupied with this, do I have a living faith or do I have a dead faith? Trusting in Jesus Christ is in fact a true and a living faith. Now, we can see in Holy Scripture time and time again that Christians aren't looking to themselves, they aren't trusting in the self. So you see in places, for example, like Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus says to the faithful Christians that, "I was hungry and you gave me to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, I was in prison and you visited me, I was naked and you clothed me," and so on. And the sheep don't say, "Well, that's right, Lord, that's how we knew that we had a true and living faith." Instead, they say, "Lord, when did we do those things?" You see, because their eyes weren't upon their works, it wasn't upon what they were doing, but rather they had their eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of their faith. But we do see those folks in Scripture who do have their eyes fixed upon what they do. And they're the ones who say, "Lord, didn't we do many great things in Your name? Didn't we cast out demons in Your name?" and so on. And Jesus says to those folks, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And so what we learn from this is essentially this. A true and living faith looks to Jesus Christ. It receives the forgiveness of sins that we have in him. Lots of people look to themselves. They look to their own works of righteousness and the great things that they believe that they could do for the Lord. But those things don't save you. And if you're looking at those things, if you're trusting in those things, then you may very well hear those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, depart from me, I never knew you.
Mike is listening in Kansas City. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. I really appreciate the topic, and I wanted to say that I listened to Issues, etc., on your streaming audio on my computer, and I've pulled up so many broadcast archives that have really helped me a lot, so I wanted to thank Issues, etc., for that. What I wanted to ask you was that I was raised in the evangelical church, and we were taught in the evangelical church that if you sincerely ask Jesus to come into your heart, you know, that he will give you saving faith. So I spent all my time struggling to be sincere, but I found that my sincerity kind of came and went with my emotions. And what I've been doing was I've been, you know, treating Christ like a magic genie. You know, I was basically saying the magic words, Lord, will you please come into my heart? And then rubbing the bottle with a little bit of my own sincerity. And then poof, he, you know, appeared within me and granted me all my wishes. And I wanted to ask you, is that way of creating faith within myself, is that in the Bible anywhere? And if it's not, then when did the church start doing this? And where did this come from?
That's a big question, Mike. You've got a minute to respond to Mike before we go to a break, Steve.
Okay, very good. Well, it's an excellent question. The whole idea of this generating faith in and of yourself, of course, is not a biblical thing. We're taught in Scripture that faith is a gift. We've already quoted from Ephesians chapter 2. We see other places like Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. God creates faith through the preaching and the proclamation of his gospel and the administration of his sacraments and through that alone. That's what Holy Scripture teaches. The question of when it came into the Protestant church is something that probably is up for debate, but we see it at the very least popularized with the new measures with Charles Finney. Here in American Christianity, where presenting the Christian faith to others became a matter of pulling on their emotional heartstrings in order to get them to make a decision for Christ. Prior to that, it simply wasn't looked at in that way.
We're talking about faith alone. Pastor Stephen Parks is our guest. He's pastor of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver. He has authored an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Why Sola Fide is the Chief Article. You can read this article under the What's New section of our website. IssuesETC.org, IssuesETC.org, click What's New. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Live this Sunday night, March the 2nd. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, IssuesETC@KFUO.org. Call or email us on Faith Alone during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Or IssuesETC@KFUO.org. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls and your email. We do need to talk about something called fideism. It often flies under the banner of faith alone, but it's really quite the opposite of faith alone. You often hear people say, I believe because I believe. I have faith in the fact that I believe. I believe in faith. We'll be right back. Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on spreading mercy one person at a time.
We run into people all the time and literally all over the world who come up to us and say, you know, at just that moment when I was absolutely down and out, I had absolutely nothing else, your organization helped and made all the difference in my life. And I'll tell you what, we recently handed over 72 homes from Habitat in a partnership with Habitat for Humanity in Banda Aceh. And for those people who've been living in relief tents since the tsunami, those 72 families know the difference one family at a time. It makes a difference one person at a time. And I tell you what, that's what keeps me going in this business constantly.
Find out more about LCMS World Relief on our website, IssuesETC.org, or by calling 888-930-4438.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do Christians make progress in doing good works? what are the Christian's good works for? And can a Christian ever do a perfect good work? I've written an article for the next Issues Etc. journal on the subject of sanctification and good works. And we'd like to send you the next journal free. Simply call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. The next journal also contains an article by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller titled, Can You Make a Decision for Christ? Does your salvation depend on questions like, have you invited Jesus into your heart? Have you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you dedicated your life to Christ? You'll find answers in the next Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy, 1-800-737-0172. Folks, did you know that the total annual budget for the show that you're listening to right now is only $300,000? Now, we're trying to find 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to include in their mission or advertising budgets $1,000 for Issues Etc. Now, if we reach that goal, you will have helped us cover the entire cost of the weekly nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. Find out about the benefits of joining the Issues Etc. 300 on our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or look for the LCMS logo right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. 300. Let's go to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where on KARF, Terry is listening. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
Hey, well, I believe in my heart that it is Christ alone that does save me. But I was reading in Romans 2:7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. And that kind of stumped me. I don't really know, I don't really understand, I guess, what he's talking about there, because I believe exactly what you're saying, that it is in Christ alone that gets me there. I certainly didn't do anything. Am I seeking glory and honor and immortality?
That's a great question. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, Pastor Parch, how do we sort that one out?
Well, I think the way that that the Apostle Paul discusses it in the totality of Romans is very important. Remember that it was a letter that was written to the church in Rome and that it was intended to be read as a whole and not simply as little snippets and so on. So if we lift just one or two verses out of their entire context, which, of course, I know is not what Terry wants to do, but there's always that danger within the Christian milieu, regardless of denomination. So what we want to do is read it as a whole. What the Apostle Paul basically argues here is that if there was one who, by patient continuance in doing good, did seek for glory, honor, and immortality, then they would certainly be rewarded for it. But as you continue reading, you find out that the Apostle Paul says that no such person exists. For example, in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, he writes, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." And so it's not a question of whether or not, if there were a person who sought for glory and honor and immortality, with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they would attain it. That's exactly what the law demands of individuals. But we know that everybody falls short of the glory of God, falls short of those demands. And the Apostle Paul makes that very clear in Romans chapter 3, which is why he concludes the chapter by saying, "Therefore we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." So again, it's faith alone that saves and not works.
Here's Tony in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Pastor Wilkin. I just wanted to make a quick comment, and that was that I don't believe, and I believe Scripture clearly backs this up, that we don't actually make a decision at all, that we do not whatsoever make any decision for Christ. We are totally passive receivers of this gift, and after we receive the free gift of salvation, then as I guess the doctor spanks the baby on the bottom, he starts crying, then there might be some signs of life. Well, there will be signs of life in us, and we will confess Christ as our Lord. But as far as a lot of the teaching in modern evangelicalism and Calvinism, that we would make a decision, we don't actually make a decision. We simply we're dead in trespasses and sins, and that we don't make a decision for Christ. And I just wanted to maybe make that comment.
All right, Tony, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Baton Rouge. Pastor Parks.
Well, I would agree with most of what Tony said there, in that the faith that we exercise in the Lord Jesus Christ is itself a gift given to us. The trust that we have in the Savior for the forgiveness of our sins is something that God works in us through the proclamation of his gospel, through the administration of his sacrament. So I would absolutely agree with that. The only thing he said that I might disagree with is this idea that there is a decision theology latent within Calvinism. I know that some Lutherans sometimes lump Calvinists in with other evangelicals. True Calvinists, that is, those who hold to those 16th and 17th century confessions of faith that were formed by Calvin and his theological errors, are absolutely, they're just as monergistic as Lutherans are. In other words, they also believe that faith is a gift and so on. Now, we have some very, very serious disagreements with them, not the least of which relates to conversion and so on. But in the specific instance of monergism, Calvinists are, in fact, monergist, at least historically speaking.
Danny is in Lebanon, Missouri, listening on KSCV. Hi, Danny.
Hi, sir. I'm a Roman Catholic, and I just have a brief question, and then I'll go ahead and hang up.
Sure.
I believe our church condemns works alone, and I think they do teach that it is a necessity. But I think apart from the grace of God, that's the only thing that can save us, I believe is what that teaches. But I know Christ, he came as a servant. He washed the disciples' feet. So as representatives of Jesus Christ, I thought we were all supposed to serve one another. I guess my question is, sir, that are we arguing doctrine, or are we arguing that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in the Catholic Church?
Well, you've got a couple of good questions there, and thank you, Danny. Okay, a couple things by way of response to Danny. First of all, I don't think we've ever stated that the Roman Catholic Church teaches works alone, but faith plus works, in essence. Is that correct, Pastor Parks?
That's right, yeah. They teach essentially that we're saved not by faith alone, nor by works alone, but by faith and works working together. It's what's commonly referred to as synergism, from the Greek sun ergo, which means working together.
Okay, then would you contrast for our caller, Danny, and for the rest of our listeners, the notion of an infused righteousness as opposed to an imputed righteousness? You've done so well, I think you can probably do that in a minute.
Okay, well, I think Danny makes a good point. Rome teaches and has always taught salvation by grace, but they have a very different definition of grace than what's taught in Holy Scripture. Scripture teaches us that grace is the unmerited favor of God, his kindness or his mercy. Rome teaches that grace is essentially a substance that is infused or poured into your soul through the instrumentality of the sacrament. So grace becomes kind of like gas that's poured into your tank. And as you go along and cooperate with that grace or that fuel that's given to you, then you merit eternal life by what you do.
As opposed to imputed?
Right, whereas imputed righteousness means essentially that you're being declared righteous for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a foreign righteousness that's being applied to your account, to say. In other words, you're not saved by what you do, but you're saved by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we say you're saved apart from works, we mean apart from our works. The only works that save are those of Jesus.
Finally, then, with 30 seconds, what is the essential danger of looking to my works to figure out my relationship with God?
Well, first and foremost, the Apostle Paul says that those who trust in the works of the law have fallen from grace, have fallen out of God's kindness and mercy and so on. And so we want to make sure that people aren't trusting in what they do, but rather are trusting in what Jesus has done. For those who look to themselves, there's always going to be some doubt. Have I done enough in order to be saved? Do I continue to do enough in order to be saved? For those who look to Jesus, we can rest in his righteousness and serve our brothers and sisters in Christ and serve those in need, not in order to get something from God, but because we've already been freely given everything in Christ.
Bill in Springfield, Missouri, and Evelyn in New York, give us a call back and we'll send you the book, Through Faith Alone. Folks, we are coming to you live this Sunday night, March the 2nd. We will continue to respond to your phone calls and your email on Faith Alone in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number. We'll also continue to give away the book Through Faith Alone to listeners with the best questions or comments in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you can only listen to this next hour on the web, issuesetc.org. Click Listen Online, issuesetc.org. And call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. When we say Christ alone, and who would disagree on the face of it with Christ alone? Christ alone saves. When we say Christ alone and faith alone, we are essentially saying the same thing in two different ways. Who saves? Jesus. Jesus alone, his perfect life, lived for you. His suffering suffered for you. His death died for you. His resurrection for you. That is alone what saves sinners. It's the only means of salvation that God has provided. It is full. It is sufficient. It is enough to save a world of sinners. When we say faith alone, we are simply talking about those eyes that look to Jesus alone. We are simply talking about a complete and utter dependence upon Christ and what he has done. This faith is given to us because we can't generate it ourselves. It is a gift of God, says St. Paul, lest any man should boast. It is a gift given to us, and it is, in fact, just as God gives us Christ himself, Christ alone. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.